This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
It's the most wonderful podcast of the year, as far as we're concerned. It's the True and Healthy Podcast with Serene Pearl, and I'm Danny Valdez.
Because it's the last one of this year.
Fine, we're contextual, aren't we?
We try to keep things evergreen. Like Danny just asked producer John, like, should we say it's about to be New Year when this drops?
Yeah, but we belled the idea of being contextual.
And John's like, it's best to be evergreen. I did not speak a very good John voice, do I? Do a John, no. Danny.
John's like, well, actually, Danny, it should be evergreen.
Yeah, that's a good John. That's a good John. I don't know why I had my John in a British accent. And like, it's best to be evergreen. It's John, like totally opposite.
John really digs in. It's like, he's like, why would it be anything else?
Yeah.
Very passionate man.
So this is evergreen. What I'm bringing today, I'm doing a Serene. I even say,
I'm bringing some meat to the
Barbie. I'm bringing meat.
I like it.
And it's very, I feel like it's really timely for any time going to the new year, but timely for all year long.
Mm.
Now, I'm chipping off my old block, which is my dear old dad and Serene's dad too.
Oh, he's my dad too, is he?
Yes, he is.
Oh, thank you.
And he gave a sermon at the Hilltop Church, and I just was really like, I've heard my dad's sermons for many years, but I really, really, it really spoke to me, and I took it in the way that dad was preaching. It was very spiritual, but I just got this physical part of it that I wanted to bring to you guys because it really helped me.
Will you re-preach it in its entirety?
No, it's going to be a little different, but I'm going to re-preach just a tad.
Okay.
And Serene, you can help me because you were there.
But I got soup in my mouth now, but I will help.
Okay.
I need to come back for a visit.
Yeah, you do, Dan.
Down there.
It's the Thai lullaby soup from, I think it's the Trim Healthy Table.
Oh, yeah. It's one of your, what do you call them?
Yeah, Trimmy Bisques.
Trimmy Bisques.
Do they still welcome group participation?
Yeah, it's pretty groupy. I mean, you can get up there and say, oh, you're false doctrine, Danny. And then someone will say,
but if you get up,
false.
Somebody might say false.
Yeah, but people like will stand up and share like the good old days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
mate.
Still sharing.
Right on.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about counseling.
Hey.
And as we go into this new year, we need good counseling. And I have a way for us to have the most incredible counseling that I sort of didn't realize. I had utilized this, but now I'm just all over it. Mm. And this, I'm going to be a little bit like Serene today because I'm going to bring some scrippies.
love.
But
bring them scrippies, girl.
It's so practical, too. And if you're not a believer, well,
I have a year subscription to the scripts.
Yeah, I don't know how this is going to relate, actually. You're just going to get some Trim Healthy tidbits from it somehow.
This is every Christian when you talk about counseling. They're like, let me tell you some counsel. You need to reach out to the wonderful counselor.
Oh, my goodness. You just took my whole thing, but I'm going to actually do that.
I figured.
Listen, we hear that our whole lives, right? I'm a pastor's kid. So I had, that's the scripture for today, right? Yeah. But I'm looking at it in a different way. So there's a scripture for all of you, for all you Leslie Poppers out there.
Hit us with them scrippies.
It's from Isaiah. And it's a prophecy about Jesus coming. This was prophesied thousands of years before Jesus came as Christ. And it says, and this is the Christmas story, right? For unto us a son is born.
Mm.
Unto us a son is given. And then it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder and his name shall be called. What's Serene?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Counselor. Mm. Almighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, I want to talk about this word counselor. People say wonderful. I always grew up and I thought it was wonderful, comma. Counselor, comma. The mighty God, comma. And then my dad spoke on Sunday and he's like, wonderful counselor. That's what it's supposed to be. And when you look up the Hebrew, it's not just wonderful, but it is actually mind-bogglingly. It means incomprehensible counselor, like the best counselor you could ever have.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if you go back and I look this morning and it's like, is it supposed to be wonderful counselor without the comma or just wonderful and counselor? And no one knows, but it doesn't matter because he's wonderful and a counselor. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if there was a, I mean, the Hebrew was written without commas, so no one really knows where to put them in. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter.
No.
That's beside the point.
Yeah.
So as Dad was talking about this, I was just thinking to myself, oh my goodness, counseling. You know, I find myself in need of it a lot, and I don't actually go to a counselor. I think counseling can be very good for people.
It can also be very dangerous.
Yeah, if you get obsessed with yourself and obsessed with your problems.
Yeah.
I feel like counseling.
Some counselors can just put your nose right back
in
the
poop. Yeah,
you
can become very narcissistic about your own life and your own problems. But sometimes I've seen it and it's very effective too. Mm-hmm. I think there's seasons. But I thought
to myself.
And there's
types of counselors.
Yeah. But I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I have the most wonderful counselor because I'm a believer at my disposal, right? And like you said, Danny, people say, well, go to the wonderful counselor. But I thought, but what if I could actually do that and make that happen? And it's not just for like the big spiritual things that I'm using on. This is for every part of my life. Like I was sitting there in that church on Sunday morning and Serene brought her bread for me as a present. So delicious. Serene's bread is my favorite food. Her sourdough bread.
It's starting. We're going to start putting it out for the public in our butterfly cafes, our blue butterfly.
Oh, yeah,
in the local
the
ones.
The gut bread, yeah.
And the Texas coming in Texas.
And down here in Benacqua.
Hey, that's worth the trip.
Oh, totally. People are going to be lining up for this stuff.
You can buy our butterfly bread and then go next door to the smoke, vapes, and cigs and get some vape.
Oh, good, good. You can get all your shopping done.
Yes. But I was just thinking, Serene gave me this bread and I just had a late breakfast and rushed off to church, so I wasn't hungry in the least. You know, I was actually pretty full, but then she gave me this bread and I thought, well, I'll eat it, you know, after church. I have it with my lunch. That'd be great. But as I was sitting there in church, my brain just kept saying, eat the bread, eat the bread, eat the bread, because it's so good. And so Dad started talking about, you know, this wonderful counselor, how you can turn to him for no matter what you're going through. And I just thought, what if I could, right? What if I could turn to God and ask him to, what should I do? Should I jolly well eat the bread or not? Not that it's sinful to eat the bread, but I didn't need the bread at the time and it was a bigger picture. Do we need to do the things we just really want to do?
There are some things that aren't sin that wreck your life too.
Yeah, I know. And I was full as a bull and I didn't need the bread.
It could, you know, gluttony is a sin, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it would have been all right, you know.
You don't go to hell for it.
Against your own body.
There's consequences.
There's nothing wrong with eating the bread, but I knew if I started on the bread, I would keep going on the bread and I would just eat it the whole service through because when I start with it, I ain't stopping.
Yeah, me too.
So I just thought, I just said to this wonderful counselor who said, talk to me whenever you want. And my brain, I said, what should I do here? Because this is a present from my sister, but I'm not hungry. Lord, what do you think I should do? And I'm not very super spiritual, and I don't think God did it in an audible voice, but I just felt it come to me from this counseling from Father God who made my body saying, I just felt it. It almost spoke to me like this. And Serene, I don't do this, do I?
No, this is so not Pearl.
So it wasn't these words, but in my head, I just felt like, nah, you're good, baby girl. You don't need it. And I was like, oh. I'm good. I can just sit here and be at peace and not have to gobble that bread like a psycho. I'm cool.
Hey, do you think it's the fear of missing out, FOMO?
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't want to miss it.
I needed it
now. Yeah. From that wonderful counselor, how you felt it, not as a big condemnation, like, I can't even believe you thought about eating when you're full. But it was like baby girl. Like
it was the way I felt.
It was kind of embossed with love.
It was like my daddy.
Embossed with love.
It was like my daddy telling me it was so much with love. And I'm not trying to be one of those people that said, God told me today to go to the left and then turn to the right and to say that.
He really does. We're not dissing that.
Not dissing that, but he's never said to me like that. And since I'm a pastor's kid, I can be very, what you would call,
cynical.
Because I've seen too much of that.
Yeah.
So I heard this. You're good, baby girl. And I thought, oh, thank you. Counseling's expensive, right? And yes. God is our ultimate counselor, even if that's been thrown around so much and you've heard it over and over. I mean, I have, but it didn't hit me. And I'm trying to get this across that when it hits you, it's absolutely life-changing. You know, I was going through something with my husband the other day, and it's not a big deal, but everyone in marriages go through little finicky things. And oh man, this again, I thought to myself, this is coming up again. You know, what should I do about this? Should I just really get down? I was at a crossroads. I've got two ways to choose to deal with this. Am I going to get down and get depressed because it's not fixed yet the way I want it? Or am I going to do something else? And I just turned to my wonderful counselor. I was like, God, what do I do here? And I just felt like it was like his words, you know, it was like, love never gives up. Love never gives up. And it's like, oh my goodness, I can actually be happy in this situation because it's okay to not give up about this. Just keep going. Just be happy. And it was like, once again, peace, peace, peace to my soul. I was actually so happy not to give up. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter if it's fixed the way you want it, Pearl, yet love never gives up.
Mm-hmm. And then crank Amy Grant.
Yeah. And which song is that?
Wonderful Counselor.
Oh, yeah.
You know it?
Yeah, I do know that.
God, Prince of Peace.
Holy One.
Yeah.
And so now I've been doing this thing where I like come to all these crossroads in my life. It's not these, you know, huge things. It's just these little things all day.
Can I share?
Yeah.
Can I share, or you might want to share? We can both share.
No, you at time.
The story that Pearl, that Dad used.
I wanted you to. And I thought, I'll ask
Serene to share. I had never heard it. Had you ever heard it
before? Never heard it.
Yeah, and I know, you know, Danny like blurted it out because he's churched too,
he's
right?
Churched.
He's not Pesamo. He's churched and he's like, yeah, go to the Wonderful Counselor. So we all know it in our minds, those who, you know, are churched. Mm. But having it in our minds and actually really having it in a like practical heart way, like this is actually a practical thing I can do all through the day. They're two different things.
Yeah.
And I think the lights turned on for you on Sunday, like, oh no, I actually have free best counseling. Like this is like the best counselor. I don't have to be on a waiting list and spend $15,000 per year.
No, that's what happened in my head. And now it's night and day. Like I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm a little bit, you know, perturbed about something. Oh, that's right. I have the wonderful counselor. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Let me muse on that wonderful mm-hmm. counselor's words mm-hmm. and what does he have to say?
And he really, I believe that he responds to those that come with expectation.
Mm, yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when you expect, he's a wonderful counselor, I'm going to get this amazing counsel, you have it.
I know, and this is going to be so huge for our Trim Healthy Journeys for this new year, but I want you to share Dad's okay. story.
So it's amazing. We had never heard this story before, but it's amazing that our dad used to drive the bus for our brother's Christian music band, The Newsboys.
Yeah.
And they would tour.
There's a backstory to that. Some of you have heard of The Newsboys. So like being a band, being around
Grammy
forever.
Award winning. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So they started in our youth group back in Australia. And then my brother brought them over here to the US and they've been going ever since.
And
so,
before
yes.
they were The Newsboys, we used to call them the Shed Boys because they lived in our shed. That's what you call a garage down yeah. under. And they used to practice all their like stage show in our shed. But they're great. And Dad was whatever they call him, Mr. C.
Yeah.
Because his name is Colin. Mr. C, and he was their bus driver. And they were all married.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dad had the responsibility of taking them safely, bringing them back to their wives, you know, about 4 days of every week.
Mm.
And they would go all different seasons through the winter and up north and around. And he remembers, he told the story of this one winter storm. And we won't be able to tell it like he told it. But he noticed all these trucks and cars all pulled off to the side of the road.
At a gas station.
Yeah, just before it looked like there was before a incline.
A mountain.
It's like, I wonder why they're all pulled off. That's
and
crazy.
At this point, he's new to America. He had never experienced a winter storm like big frozen ice snow before.
Yeah. Mm. This is probably about our first year here or second year here.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's like, this is crazy. I wonder if there was an accident or why they pulled off or mm-hmm. what's going on. He didn't really think it was because there was danger ahead. So he gets up, quarter of the way up the mountain, and starts to realize this road is slipping underneath me. And he's in one of those big Provence tour buses, like the huge ones, heavy as heck. And they're carrying a huge trailer with all those speakers and band equipment. Not like a little youth group band equipment. I'm talking stage show with thousands come equipment.
Yeah, like a full tour
this
bus.
This is
gear.
Heavy.
Wow, yeah.
And all the guys, and some have little children, you know, they're sleeping away and it's late at night. And Dad's thinking, this is slipping. And he gets three quarters of the way up
and the bus starts sliding back down the hill. And there's a ledge where you just go off and you die. Like, you know, the side is just, you die. And he started losing traction and then losing steering. So he was going in a really awful direction towards the edge. And his thoughts were slam on the accelerator and just, you know, just pedal
through
to the metal and just make it up the hill. And he realized that he was not smart enough for this. And he realized the responsibility of the life. So he said, I cried out to the wonderful counselor. I cried out to God and said, God, what do I need to do? You're the only one who would really know. And he got this immediate split second thought, jam on the brakes. Just, wasn't it slam on the brakes, don't slam on the accelerator. And is that what it was?
I think so, but I can't really remember. It was either brakes or accelerator, one of the two that you weren't supposed to do.
I don't know. It was the brakes.
Yeah, and then it stopped in the middle of, over on this incline on the other side of the road. Now, there's no other cars or trucks because no one else had gone up the hill.
And not with the big Provence.
Everyone turned back.
Bus.
Yes, and so all
you can't turn back. They just didn't try.
But somehow the bus stopped, right?
Stopped immediately. As soon as he did that, the bus stopped immediately. And then he was just, it was just there teetering, but it wasn't moving. And he kept it on his just foot on the brakes, put the emergency brake on, but it was still like, if you made a move, he would slip another inch.
Yeah,
another
that's
inch.
What it was. He's
so
like,
he waited there just in trusting the Lord for like 2 hours until he could finally get out.
And they were all asleep.
The snow melted a little bit, get out and put chocks underneath all the wheels.
Yeah, so he put something under the wheels and stayed there the rest of the night till the roads got cleared the next day.
But he knew, he said he knew that they would have all died that night.
Mm. Wow.
It would have slid that tour bus off this huge, you know.
But that's been my dad's life, you know, and I realized when I heard that story, you know, what a great hereditary we have that, you know, my dad, and I've seen him do that all his life, like just call out to our wonderful counselor. Yeah. And it just really spoke to me. And now that's what I'm doing. And I feel like just even the little things, the practical things, and I want to bring this to our Trim Healthy journey. You know, we can all encourage one another when we're, you know, tempted by things. And we even go into a gas station and there's junk all around us in this life we live. We can't get away from it. Foods that destroy our body. It's not just that. Or for some of us that don't eat those foods, just foods when we don't need them, or foods just to the excess, just because we're eating to fulfill something else, or things like that. And it doesn't just have to be us on our own trying to find our own wisdom. We can just at tap have the wonderful counselor, and like Serene, go with expectation that we're going to receive.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you want to just eat at night because you're just, I don't know, it's fulfilling something and you're not hungry. Or if you feel like you're about to cave to those Krispy Kremes just because they've always pulled you before, just ask God what to do.
Do you know what I love about it too? He's not only the best counselor out there, and not only is he free of charge, but he actually has incredible prescriptions to give.
Yes.
That are full of power.
Yes.
Like he gives strength out too.
And he gives strength
and willpower
to the weak.
Out. Yeah.
And he says, when I'm weak, say I'm strong. He gives us all these things and they're in his words. And, you know, those of us that are churched and grew up in church and scriptures, we know them and we can ruminate on them. But, you know, and I don't want to be a big Bible basher here, basher over the head, but anything that Serene's and I have learned that has any wisdom to it has only come from the Scrippies.
Yeah.
I mean, we're only here because of the Scrippies.
Yeah. I know.
And that's just the truth of it.
I know.
We try to tone it down sometimes because we have many of you from different faiths or no faiths at all listening and stuff. But I'm just so excited about those Scrippies this week because they've just been helping me in all the little tiny, tiny little things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leslie's saying one of our snacks should be called Scrippies.
That's so great.
I see you. Bye, Liz. Liz has to go.
Liz is out saving the world. She's not going to be able to stay with us today.
We had tornadoes that just blew through and did terrible destruction to some towns. And her mother's heart has just gone out. She's just feeding all the people who has no electricity.
Leslie's
she's
like feeding 300 people on her land. Right now on her
she
land.
Like took it upon, like took it, like if I were to do something like that, it'd be like for a couple hours and it wouldn't be my responsibility at all.
No, but it's her strength and gifting.
She's taking it as if it's her town. Like she's the mayor.
But it's such a time as this. Her skills are shining for such a time as this. Yeah. She's an amazing woman, our Leslie.
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
So there was another scripture that just came to mind that I'll talk about. And then we can talk some really practical things about, you know, when we comes to these issues in our own trim healthy journeys. But it's much more than that. But there's that scripture, which is Psalm 1:1, right? And how does it go now?
If our mum was here, she would have just quoted
it. Oh, I know how it is.
But I can't tell you, sorry.
Blessed is, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Yeah, there you go.
Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the something of the something. Anyway, but his delight shall be in the law of the Lord,
and
in his law
he
meditates day and night in his delight. All right, but I want to go back to that. I had heard that scripture a million times too. I'd learned it one day. Obviously, it's, you know, a bit rusty. But
obviously,
blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So we think that takes, it means, you know, don't listen to people who's going to give you wrong advice, and don't listen
to
people.
Like, what if somebody tells you to go murder the person you
hate?
Yes,
you know.
Don't listen. Well, I think it's a lot more subtle than that is what the counsel.
And I've realized we counsel ourselves all day long. And in our head, we can harbor counsel that's really not great for us. And we think, oh, you know, everything in our thoughts must be just fine. But if we can realize that we don't have to walk in counsel from our own brains even. Like, our own brains can give lots of counsel and it's not so great. Like, my own brain wanted to tell me on Sunday morning, eat the bread, eat the bread, eat the bread. Yeah. It wasn't wise counsel. Yeah. It was my two-year-old self saying, I want something now.
And, you know, the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. And let's just say another way of taking that scripture, who doesn't sit in the counsel of the ungodly. I have taken this in many ways. And Pearl and I, we go to a lot of events, you know, because we want to be up on the top of what is the latest anti-aging health. We want to sift through it to bring you new knowledge. But we also realize that man doesn't know everything yet.
That's for sure.
And sometimes a little knowledge is more dangerous than no knowledge, sometimes. And as man tries to figure it out, and scientists and doctors try and figure it out, sometimes they can go down the wrong path because they don't have the full picture like Christ, like God, the maker of our body, who knows the blueprint, he knows everything we need. And so we will often say to each other, hey, okay, we're going to go to this anti-aging, this you know, summit with all these doctors and scientists, but we're going to sift. We're going to sift. And we always pray before we go, God, you know best. And this could be, as much as it sounds so amazing and they're using all these incredible long terms, and they sound so intelligent, it could be the counsel of the ungodly.
Yeah.
Because maybe they're getting this information just from man and not from God. Now, God can give to man and man can bring incredible revelation, but we have to be careful. So sometimes your doctor's saying, blah, 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 blah. Okay, it could be great, but take it to the wonderful counselor.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's the counsel of the ungodly.
I know.
I gotta go pee on that too. Point.
I always find the most amazing counsel, I find, not every time, but often, is surrounding the theme of like letting go of something. Like anytime I'm really distressed or struggling with something, or I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, even letting go of my wife's opinion about me, you know, or how, you know, if she feels I've hurt her feelings or hurt her 10 years ago
on
something. Y'all know how y'all are.
Yeah. We can like, be like that.
Letting
go is so huge, Dan.
Yeah. To not let it mean so much. Not that her feelings don't mean a lot to me, but that so it's not about letting go of the way she feels. Letting go of my need for her to see me in a certain light, to see me as heroic or strong.
Or even letting go of your need to feel, you know, or hurt or mad or whatever it is, or justified for a certain amount of time, because that's what we as humans need.
Yeah.
Just letting it go.
Completely let it go. That's that is like, it's crazy. You know, I go to the council thinking I need an answer, left or right, red or blue, when in actuality, the answer is to completely let go and not be so attached to the outcome.
Yeah.
And to know that whatever the outcome is, it's 100% on plan. and okay when it comes to things outside of our control
yeah.
that are hurtful, hurting us, frustrating us. You know, if you can't control it, then often just letting go of the outcome is so powerful.
Yeah, that's true too.
And so many times the counsel of our brains say, oh, you need to be frustrated.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, it's about time you get jolly well frustrated.
This issue is due your frustration.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and don't you withhold its due.
Yeah.
And this one's worth anger.
Yeah, this one.
Finally, we found.
Or the fear one. No. Yeah. You can be, that's one thing that's so good about the wonderful counselor, because we know he says do not fear. Actually, it says 365 times in the Bible, do not fear, for there's one for each day. And you know, and even the night of the tornadoes recently, and I was up, you know, all the sirens were going off, and I was up and I was thinking, one was very close to my son.
And just for some backstory, you know, we all fear different things and we all have to work like out of them, like work through them and get that wonderful counselor to help us through. But storms was one of Pearl's little fears.
It used to be big.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big, because we lived in a trailer home and, you know, this is an area where we have a lot of tornadoes. One hit your house.
Yeah.
One hit my home when we weren't there at one point. But
it's like they say, God hates trailers.
Do they? Now I have this home. Mate. When I said, honey, if we ever build our home. So we built our first home. We've never had a home before. And then 3 years ago, we had this home built. And I said, if we ever build a home, it will be tornado proof. You know, so I live in this tornado-proof home. So I wasn't worried about myself, but now my children live away from me because they're married. And Bowen, my son, you know, they were in the path of the tornado, and I was tracking it on my TV because we're one of the last people that have cable TV. Who has local news anymore? Nobody does. My children certainly don't.
You have cable TV?
Yeah,
like there's a physical cable plugged in the back of your television.
Well, I don't know. You can get like local news and stuff.
No, it's cable. Yeah,
it's cable. Like we can watch stuff on.
Local news.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you're watching that.
No, because I'm the only one in the area that has it. So I was telling people, hey, it's on your road. It's on your road. I saw when it was on Kingston Springs near Leslie and John.
You're like the community like news.
Yeah. But I was like on the phone to so many people at once. I was like, but Bowen, it was closest to him. I was like, Bowen, and they don't have a basement or anything. I'm like, get in the closest room, and they live in a small house, one interior room. It's like, I don't have an interior room, Mom. You know, he's got, wake their 3-year-old up. And so
room.
They went in the laundry room.
Okay.
And I'm like, it's on Gum Branch Road. And he's like, that's one road away from me. But he you know, he's calm. But in my soul, I just suddenly felt that fear attack my gut. Like, oh no, I felt that old tornado fear rise up. And then I was just like, no. Wonderful counselor. He says, do not fear. He said it to me. And what's the fear doing? It's not helping at all. I will not fear. So I just decided, no, that's my counselor. I'm not going to fear. I'm going to pray, you know, and I'm going to be calm. And I was able to.
And sometimes we think the fear is going to work for us and it's going to do something amazing.
It's going to do something.
But the fear is not doing nothing. The fear is not stopping a tornado.
No.
Prayer will, but not fear. And it's so interesting. One of my favorite lines from my wonderful counselor is in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 31, at the end there where it says, she laughs at the future.
Yeah.
And I think for me as a mother, just once you get that responsibility that all these little lives or now big lives that you love so much.
Yeah.
And they're a part of your heart, and it's just like, there's this thing, how can I laugh at the future? Because there's what ifs and what ifs and what ifs.
Mm.
And you can make up a lot of imaginations about the future.
I know you can, Serene.
And my daughter, Chalice, she just had her first little baby, her sweet little newborn. It's like 4 days old. Marvel is the name.
Marvel.
From the word marvelous. And
not from the comics?
No, not at all.
Danny only knows Marvel from comics.
Well, they actually read this little gorgeous classic book from the Depression era. And it was actually a popular name back then. And the heroine was named Marvel.
Really?
And her nickname was Marv. And they're like, prayerfully going to make this baby really fat and chubs. Right? You know, and call her Marv.
Prayerfully.
You know?
Oh, big chub Marv.
Yeah. Big chub Marv. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're so excited. But anyway,
get over here, Marv.
I go over to visit the little grandbaby. And I can see, and my child is carefree. She has always been like, what you worrying about, Mom?
Hmm.
And she's always kind of looked at me like, you worry too much. Like, what you worrying about?
Yeah.
But I looked, I could see her. She was a bit teary-eyed when I came around. Are you sad? She goes, no, I'm so happy. But oh my goodness, this weight of responsibility, this love of this child has rested upon
didn't
her.
She
for
ask
the first
her,
time in her life, I think that there was this, Mom, I can smile at the future. Like
didn't she ask you, how do you just keep them alive?
Like Well, that was a family line because that's what my husband said when we first had a baby. That was his first I think he told that to you, Pearl.
Yeah,
he as did. We were rushing out the door somewhere and I think our little three week old had
RSV,
some kind of flu.
Yeah.
And he said to Pearl, how do you keep them alive? Because she had babies before we had babies. It's like, wisdom, Pearl, please tell me how you keep them alive. So I think she said that line as a little bit of a joke. Mm-hmm. But no, I can tell her, Chalice, you can smile at the future. You don't have to bring fear into motherhood just because you love so deeply.
I know, it's so true. And now, that's so good, Serene.
Whoa,
she comes
up.
Out with some good ones.
One more time. One more time. You don't have to bring fear into motherhood just because you love so deeply. Someone print it on a shirt and mail it to me.
Oh, that's right so now. Good. And, you know, now that my family is really growing, I have 4 grandchildren and 2 on the way. As our family grows, I keep this part of me, the fear part that used to live in me. Now I won't let it. But it always tries to knock back on the door. It's always like, but there's more now, more people to worry about. The incidence of things that could go wrong.
Yeah, the odds
is
now with more numbers.
Now you got to pray for that one and that one and that one and that one. You better get them all covered, Pearl.
And
it's almost like fear prayers. And I'm like, no.
Didn't I call you up the other night and say, Pearl, it's different when it was our own babies because, okay, we were there and we were making sure we were, you know, that they weren't being snuffed. But you know, we were like, she's just got a grandbaby. Yeah. 4 days older than my little grandbaby. So they're both tiny newborns. And we're like up praying in the night. The babies live through the night.
Yeah. No.
We're not even their mothers.
but there's that, you know, even prayers can be fearful. And that's not right. He said, don't
he
pray
in
fear.
He the prayer of faith, not the prayer of fear.
And so, you know, so that's why I go to my wonderful counselor because I'm not going to live my life as my family keeps growing. That's a blessing for each grandchild I have. That it shouldn't be just more to fear. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there's the babies and then there's the growing children. Like I have a son who, you know, who's still having treatment for cancer. And my wonderful counselor tells me, Serene, don't make imaginations up in your head. Smile at the future. Have faith for the future. I live in this bubble of peace, not because of my own counsel. My own counsel in my head, it's poison.
Yeah.
It's poison and I could go down now.
I know,
like,
Serene.
Right now. Be a whole different person and need to get on whatever those things are.
Prozac
or whatever.
The Prozac.
My wonderful counselor keeps me filled with excitement for the future and puts that smile on my face like, it's all Serene, smile.
I see you live that out, Serene. I see you live that out because I constantly put it on my own. Like I watch you walk this journey with Arden and, you know, it's been an amazing, fantastic journey and he's strapping and strong, but he is still having treatment and there are, you know, things he still has to go through. But I always think to myself, Pearl, imagine yourself as Serene and it was your son, Bowen, you know, and how do you do that? And I always think to myself, how is she happy? But you choose it from his wisdom, Serene, and I would have to do the same or I would be a basket case.
Well, I have to shout out right now because, you know, yes, I've gone to my wonderful counselor, but, you know, I'm 44 now and I think I've learned through the years of being a basket case so many times for different things that weren't as serious. Like I've learned that, you know, my own wisdom has just left me in pieces. But shout out to my beautiful Esther, my daughter-in-law, who makes the Esther's Cake of Wonders and all those other wonderful. She is young and she's learned early to go to that wonderful counselor and she walks that journey.
She does.
You know, she's the wife, the soulmate and walks along aside me in this journey, totally full of love of life and smiling at the future, hopeful, full of faith.
I appreciate you sharing your age, Serene.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of. Yeah, I smile at the future, right? I smile at menopause, dude.
Yeah, I've always heard.
Yeah, I'm not
like,
there yet.
Never ask a woman your age, or never. And I get, I'm not, I'm just going to keep that rule. Fine, but like this, almost like terror of getting older.
Do you know what my wonderful counselor said say it, but in his divine narrating, you know, everything is of the divine inspirer, the Bible. Every scripture is for reproof of encouragement, whatever that is.
We're good at quoting them up.
We're not good at quoting. It's in there, but the spirit of it's in there, but not all the B's and the thousand, the dotting T's and I's. But it said that Moses, at an old age, it said that his bones were still filled with sap.
Yeah.
You know, and that's then, of course, Caleb, when he was 80, said, I'm stronger now than when I was 40. Let me take the high country. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm actually excited about moving on to the new breakthroughs in medical science that have found the things that God has put into plants, like there's bioidentical hormones that can be isolated and found in plants. And I'm going to take hold of that and I'm going to take it as I age. So I feel like, yay, there's these practical things I can do. But I look at my father and I think, oh, he's full of sap. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's full of the sap of the word.
It's true.
So
sorry.
I'm going to take the sap of the word. And then on a side note, I'll take some hormones.
Yeah.
So I'm not afraid of
and
aging.
Of course, just, you put in good sap in your mouth too when you eat the good sap of the world.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, no fear of aging in me.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl. And I'm Pearl. And who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Do you two, when you, you know, do you experience fear as the word fear? Because I don't. I don't.
No.
I often experience what I would call responsibility, but it's a knot in my stomach for like way too long until I identify it as fear. Does it hit you as fear first?
Mine are imaginations. My brain plays movies of what could happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it just plays stuff constantly of all the
3D,
bad things.
3D, full color, technicolor, mm-hmm. whatever you call it.
Mine never hit me. I'm quite unconscious for way too long sometimes that I am simply experiencing fear. Mm. What I'm thinking is I've got to hold these 19 items up in my mind all at the same time, and I must go down every nook and cranny and alleyway and make sure that something isn't going to be an oversight so that it hurts me. Mm. And I'm never processing that in the moment. Looking back, I can do that. But, you know, the only thing I found that helps is when is to say out loud that I have a little mantra that goes like, I am afraid. So I'll say, I am afraid. And then I'll say, what have you to be afraid of? Look at the birds of the air. That's my little mantra. Wow. I am afraid. And then I'll say back to myself, what are you afraid of? Look at the birds of
like
the air.
Like David. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So like,
why are you downcast? Why are you downcast?
Yeah. Like I was terrified in my soul. Well, why are you terrified? Yeah. I never thought about that. But yeah, that's sort of my
progression. It's okay to acknowledge that you're fearing, but then you say, hey, stop. I'm not a fearer.
Because if you don't acknowledge it, you
pretend
it's responsible.
I missed the acknowledge part because I'm already really aware of it.
Well, you're past that. Yeah.
I'm past that.
See, I'm never aware of it. And I think a lot of people are very unconsciously walking in this medicated fear, medicated with food, medicated with movies, medicated with entertainment, medicated with clubs and groups and church even. You can medicate your fear.
Yeah, you
there's
can,
people
totally.
Hiding in churches.
Well, when you go and it's not really for the intimacy of the Lord, but it's just like, oh, I have to go for my social whatever.
Yeah, just constant medication, constant relief. I mean, the reason I want biscuit number 6 is, I don't know, I guess I'm saying because it tastes so good. But really, there's a dopamine, right? Getting released in my brain. There's this chemical
but
hit.
But I also think there's a beautiful dopamine that God is meant to give us by the gathering together of the saints. Like, forsake not the gathering. Yeah. So I don't think that's a medication that is like...
Well, it can be. I mean, it everything's good and bad, right? I mean, you can meeting yourself up galore and it's
Right, and it's not helping you because you're not there for the right reasons. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to say...
You know, community is medicine, though. Community is a positive...
It can be, for sure.
Medicine. I just find that
unless you're getting together and just commiserating and and just expressing.
Well, some people are going
fears.
To church to just tick the box. Oh, I'm a good Christian. I've attended Sunday. That's not.
Yeah.
You know, that could be a medication of just ticking the box.
Yeah, but
he's saying medicating.
I'm trying to get what he's saying because I'm like, I'm just trying to say that, especially in this world that says don't gather.
Yeah,
because you don't want to spread the germ.
You're dealing with that.
No, I'm just trying to say there's all, I think gathering is healing.
Yeah.
Oh, gathering.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. It's like even if you are not dealing with your fears and not really processing things, you know, gather anyways. You know what I mean? There is a, I think, I mean, that's where somebody might care enough about you to talk, to bring it up.
Right.
Too.
That's true.
I mean, that's the best kind of gathering is the kind where there is a little, I don't know. I mean, in the basement, sometimes we'd fuss at each other, but then we'd spoon food onto each other's plates right after.
That's right.
And be like, what? So how's work?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just after we were like, no, dude, you're way off and I'm questioning your whole validity.
You're
on the
planet.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And then it's 5 minutes later. But you know, those type of real places are getting fewer and fewer.
Yeah.
Real places. We're going into the meta now, you know.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You know, another thing our good, wonderful counselor has said to us, we've touched on the do not fear. But just to recap, some of our potties in the past, it came from our wonderful counselor that says, put off.
Mm.
Put off your negativity and put on joy. You know, put off your disappointments and your bitterness. Put on hope and forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. Or like, it's just the most amazing counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's so beautiful for my life. I'm so grateful for it. Who am I that I could have access to all of this and yet I do?
Mm-hmm.
God is such a kind father, and that's why in my head he speaks to me like a real kind daddy.
Well, you know, there's
and
been a
I'm
part
his
of
little baby.
Do you know one of the most beautiful moments of my life? Most beautiful moments. I think I told you, Pearl, but I don't think I've shared it with anybody else. And I'm not going to share all the details, but my brain tends to overanalyze things. Mm. And so I think sometimes to the point where I overthink and I don't even know what I'm thinking anymore. Like I just think over and ruminate over something. And I just felt like kind of, I was on a walk and kind of felt like upset with my whole brain. Like, oh my goodness, I just wish that my brain thought simply. So so I just didn't have to get like bogged down with all of these inner circles and worryings of my brain. And I felt like the Lord just give me the biggest hug that no human could ever give me and say, hey, I love that about you.
Hmm.
Hey, I made you that way. It's just your weakness right now, but I put it in there because you're going to use it for strength one day.
That's so good.
You're going to use it for strength. It was a whisper. It was warmth. It was tangible. It wasn't like an audible voice, but it was there louder than audible. And whenever I want to know, God, do you really love me? I go back to that moment and I feel so loved because I felt loved in my rawness. Mm. Like this thing that I felt like was the part of me that wasn't honed yet or fixed yet.
It's messy.
God was saying, oh, this is what I love about you.
Mm.
Don't worry, we're working on it. And one day it's going to be the thing that shines.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, I love him. I love the wonderful counselor. You can come to him as you are.
Yeah.
You don't have to come to him all like
fixed up.
Yeah, you don't have to like come to the
counselor's couch. We wouldn't need a counselor though if we were all perfect,
yeah,
right? We need counsel because we're in this process, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why he called himself a counselor, because he knows we'll need it. He knows we're messy. He knows that we're going to come to these crossroads all day, you know, when we choose.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gives us really good wisdom on what to choose.
Yeah.
But I feel like Serene said, we have to be expectant and we have to actually go to the counsel. We don't get counsel unless we ask for it.
Ask for it. And he can give that, what they call like the rhema word, which is like his spirit breathing into yours. But there's the logos word, which is the written word of God.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you can't expect without opening.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's both. Sometimes you're placed, you don't have the Bible with you.
Yeah.
You haven't uploaded the app on your phone and you just need the counsel now.
Yeah.
Split second like you were in church.
Yeah.
Maybe you forgot your Bible. I don't know, but you just needed a rhema word from the Lord. There wasn't any verse in the Bible that says,
there wasn't a verse that was going to tell
bread,
me
you
not
know?
To eat Serene's bread.
But I think there's that both. To seek him for that here and now.
And it's okay to ask
thing.
Him for just a word or just, you know, for a sense. And sometimes, you know, he's the God of all wisdom. That's what he calls himself.
Yeah.
And so I feel like when we ask him, when we're in these times and this year, you know, this coming new year, and I know so many of you, you know, want to have a good year for your health and you want to stay on, I mean, it's like on plan. I got my fingers on there, but you just want to have a healthy lifestyle. And then the winds come and things kick you in the butt and sometimes life is hard. But you want to be strong. But you don't have to fall off because you have the wonderful counselor this year. You have that wonderful counselor as you're at your beck and call.
Yeah.
Way better than Serene and I speaking to you on this potty.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, our wisdom, if it doesn't come from here, is like junk, Jack.
And we all have that access. We have direct access. Really cool. And even if you're not a believer, God made you. He doesn't mind you talking to him. And I pretty much think that you would be a believer pretty soon. Because we're going to give you some jolly wonderful counsel.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then I'll be true nothing, mama.